I'm not nostalgic for our past. I am desperate to remind this younger generation of what a bright future they have awaiting them.
Learn to be courageous and recognize that freedom is not free.
This is Eye on Your Money with Gary Rathman, President and CEO of Private Wealth Consultants. Your free market voice.
Free market voice.
Of the Midwest. Call Gary, 855-334-4556. Gary Rathman has over 30 years of experience in making the best choices for you to keep more of what you earn. Educational, real, relevant. Eye on Your Money with Gary Rathman.
This is our country.
Good evening and welcome again to Eye on Your Money. I am Gary Rathman, your free market voice of the Midwest. Our website is eyeonyourmoney.com, eyeonyourmoney.com, or privatewealthconsultants.com. Our Facebook is Private Wealth Consultants Limited, Private Wealth Consultants LTD. If you want to go there and see what Katie's put on the website, sign up for our weekly e-newsletter, and just look at the general stack of stuff that I read through every day. I think Katie puts most of it on there. Plus, we got other stuff. We find videos and interesting things that I think you should take a look at. And all of that's there. Our number here is 855-334-4556. Toll free from anywhere if you want to give me a call with a question or a comment. I'd be glad to chat with you. You know, the New York Times, which I read because I have that kind of time, the New York Times has the solution to our lack of economic growth in this country. Never thought of this, although other people have said it, but I didn't entertain the idea too much. But apparently, the New York Times thinks that the not being involved in any major wars is hurting economic growth. That's right. We need a war, a big one, and unfortunately, we're probably likely to get it. But the Economist and the person writing this article feels that if we had a major war, well, that would certainly help our economy. These are the same people that believe that World War II ended the Great Depression, which is not true at all. But we're coming off a very bad quarter. First quarter of the year was a negative GDP growth, meaning GDP actually shrunk. Quarter. They blame that on the weather. Second quarter, we can't blame on the weather, but second quarter is shaping up to be similar to first quarter. Now, they will not dare have a negative GDP for the second quarter, because that means we're officially then in a recession. You have two quarters in a row of negative GDP, that means you're in a recession. So I guarantee you, and I rarely use the word guarantee, but I guarantee you that we will not have a second negative GDP. But if we look at what Tyler Cowen wrote in the New York Times, that the continuing slowness of economic growth in high-income economies is part of the explanation of that is that we have not had a major war recently. They look at the history and some of the economic surges, some of the innovative surges that was brought about by preparation or anticipation of a major conflict is what we're missing. So he feels that, to quote him, the world just hasn't had much warfare lately, at least not by historical standards. Some of the recent headlines about Iraq or South Sudan make our world sound like a very bloody place, but today's casualties pale in light of the tens of millions of people killed in the two world wars in the first half of the 20th century. Even the Vietnam War had many more deaths than any recent war involving an affluent country. Well, that's just unacceptable. Surely all the world needs for some serious growth is for war casualties to be in the billions, not the paltry hundreds of thousands. This Keynesian thought process continues. Counterintuitive though it may sound, the greater peacefulness of the world may make the attainment of higher rates of economic growth less urgent and thus less likely. This view does not claim that fighting wars improves economies, of course, as of course the actual conflict brings death and destruction. The claim is also distinct from the Keynesian argument that preparing for war lifts government spending and puts people to work. Rather, the very possibility of war focuses the attention of governments on getting some basic decisions right. Whether investing in science or simply liberalizing the economy, such focus ends up improving a nation's longer run prospects. So that's what we need, according to New York Times, is anticipation of a major, major war. Now, I totally disagree with this, of course. I think that is stupid economic thinking. But they feel, or he goes on to explain, that major innovations in our country, like nuclear power, the computer, modern aircraft, all pushed along by American government eager to defeat the Axis of Powers and later to win the Cold War. Apparently, the internet was originally designed to help this country withstand a nuclear exchange. Silicon Valley had its origins in military contracting, not today's entrepreneurial and social media startups. So apparently Al Gore didn't invent the internet. Apparently that was due to anticipation of Russia launching Sputnik satellites, spurred American interest in science and technology, and to the benefit of later economic growth. Now, the stupidity of this is amazing. I mean, once again, this is absolute Keynesian thinking that we have too much peace. Peace is slowing down the economy, and what we really need is some serious military conflict and a whole bunch of deaths. And that would probably help the unemployment rate, too, come to think about it. We kill off a few million people or so. That opens up a lot of jobs. And these people could take those jobs. So, I'm reading the book on the... Just went blank on the bill. I just had one of those brain freezes, but it's John Maynard Keynes and Harry Dexter White on the legislation they put together. I can't believe it. I got a total mental block on that. John Maynard Keynes really felt that the economy can be turned around by government spending, that it is rather than supply creating the demand, it's you create the demand through government spending, and that will increase the supply. And that's just totally backwards to what true economics is. And this is what we've grasped onto, what we've grabbed a hold of in recent history. I mean, Paul Krugman, Nobel laureate, writer, columnist for the New York Times, and travels all over the world talking, firmly believes that even though the American economy is trillions and trillions of dollars in debt versus what they were a few years ago, the Federal Reserve has created over $3 trillion in new money, and the economy is still not growing. Well, it obviously wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. We should have went deeper in debt. We should have printed more money, and then it would have been better. And that's always the progressive's answer to anything that is done, is more money, more money, more money. You didn't do enough. And so we're seeing the results of that now. And now their latest invention or latest thought process is we got too much peace. Peace is costing us growth. Huh. Well, we'll see how that works out for Iraq and other countries in the Middle East that don't have the peace. Okay, Russia today cut off the gas to the Ukraine, made them a cash-only customer. We got some interesting information. Let's see how that works out for Russia when we come back. I'm Gary Rathbun. This is Eye on Your Money.
Now back to Eye on Your Money with Gary Rathbun.
It was Bretton Woods. I don't know why I could not remember that. But reading a book, The Battle of Bretton Woods, yeah, by a gentleman by the name of Steele, and he's talking about John Maynard Keynes and Harry Dexter White. Fascinating, fascinating book. Okay, got that off my mind. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. It's like forgetting your own name at this point. Real quick, let's go to John in Monroe. John, welcome to Eye on Your Money.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
I'm good, now that I remembered that. Man, that was bugging the heck out of me.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the way, Rick Perry is looking for a memory coach.
Thanks. Finally something I'm qualified for, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if you're qualified. Especially with minimum wage going up to $15.
Well, you know, maybe I can get a raise then. So.
Well, I don't want to throw you off on your Russian thing, but I saw Carville on Fox the other day, and he was being hammered for all the disasters that is Obama.
Sure,
he's
sure.
Going, yeah, but the deficit has dropped 50%.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, I got to ask Gary about this. You know, we had these trillion plus for 3 years,
right?
And now all of a sudden it's dropping to only $600 billion,
right?
And how do you explain how that happened?
That's a terrific. Terrific question. And what happens is what he's talking about, it's no different than the baseline cuts in the budget. What happened is the government accounting office projected the receipts and the outlays. And they projected so many receipts, so much in outlays, and that was a projected deficit. And the actual deficit is down this year because the actual receipts are significantly higher than they projected. And that's due to the higher tax brackets and the increase in receipts due to end of the year activity last year, trying to get it in at the lower tax rate. So when he's saying, I mean, we were running $1 trillion deficits for several years, and then they projected 600 and some billion deficit. Right now they're saying the actual deficit's going to be 500 and some billion. So that's where they're getting those numbers. Now, at the end of the fiscal year, which is September, they're going to true up the books, and we know how that works, John. And we won't know that true up for several months, And we're going to have $1 trillion plus deficit again anyway, because
you're telling me that, I mean, because you remember you were talking about last summer or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing how our deficit, or maybe it was election year. In June, you said, you know, cripe, we aren't adding anything to the deficit, but we're going all of a sudden it's going to hammer us.
Right.
And it did.
It did. And it's going to be the same thing this year. We got an important election.
You're predicting.
Yes.
You're on the record here.
Yes.
Then in September, we're going to see close to $1 trillion.
Well, yeah, but we won't know that until after the election. See, the fiscal year ends September 30th.
Well, I understand that.
Okay. So,
and I also understand that we won't hear about it until after the election.
That's right.
I'm just saying that, you know,
I think it'll be closer.
You're a great predictor then.
Well, I'd like to think so. But I think we're going to have that $1 trillion deficit again. It's just going to be not known until after the election sometime.
Okay, and what about unemployment rates?
Unemployment rate, I think, will be below 6% when they announce it in October for the September rate. I think it'll be at 6% or less. I also made the prediction that they're going to come out and say the people signed up for Obamacare in October. I think they're going to say, well, we've got over 14, 15 million people signed up. And I think all of these things are going to look what happened today, John. What happened today? Happened today is, you know what? We captured the ringleader of Benghazi. Really? It only took us 3 years to find this guy? This guy's been doing TV ads for 2 years or something. I mean, this is all I don't want to say staged, but it's all kind of pre-programmed to divert our attention from one point to point B to not see some of the things that's actually going on. And I think, go ahead.
Right. I mean, there are just so many. Yeah. One after another. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's kind of the Cloward-Priven thought process on a international scale, you know, where you overload the system, you overload everything with so many things critical that you can't control any of it. It's just an overload. And you know, I was watching O'Reilly last night. He's talking about President Obama being surprised by everything, surprised by the IRS, surprised by the immigration, surprised by what's going on in Iraq, surprised by Russia and the Ukraine. You know, I mean, how can you be the leader of the free world and be surprised at all this? The only way is you're just not reading your memos, because the intelligence agencies should have all of this information. So,
it goes back to Cloward and Piven.
Absolutely.
He doesn't care that all these things are happening. That's
right.
You know,
that's right.
Not all these things are planned. They just throw them into the mix whenever something can come up.
Yeah. Whenever we want to divert our attention, you know.
Well, and then now we have six more people at the IRS with their emails.
Yep.
I mean, how do you focus in on any of these outrages?
Yeah, it becomes overwhelming.
Yeah. Okay.
Becomes overwhelming. Thanks a lot for the call, John. Right. I appreciate
it.
Running late. I'm Gary Rathman. This is Eye on Your Money. We'll be right back.
Now back to Eye on Your Money with Gary Rathbun.
We are back. Our number here, 855-3344-556. Toll free from anywhere. Real quick, let's go to Greg in Holland. Greg, welcome to Eye on Your Money.
Hey, Gary. How are you tonight there? A couple things. You're talking to John about this revenue to the federal government. I'll tell you what. I study this stuff inside and out every way you can think of, and I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I'll tell you why. You're familiar with the CBO?
Yeah. Oh, Congressional Budget Office?
No. Gary, you're not familiar with me. It's the Clueless Budget Office.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
There you go. Let's get it straight. I'll tell you why. I look at all. They do everything in 10-year increments.
Sure.
And I look at every one of them. And I'll tell you, give me an example of something. In 2002 to 2012, they predicted the revenue of the federal government in 2012 to be $3.4
trillion. Right.
It was actually 2.1. I mean, they're over $1 trillion off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so you have that. You have the participation rates, the lowest it's been since 1978.
Right.
Wages have not increased. I don't see where they're getting this money.
Well, actually, wages have decreased. I read a report today that since Lehman Brothers, real wages are down over 1% in constant dollars. So that's a big deal considering inflation is running at declare. Well, it's the same way with inflation, Greg. I mean, they're telling us it's 2%, and you and I know better.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
We buy food and gasoline, and we know better.
Yeah. So, I mean, at McDonald's, a Big Mac is $4 and something. Are you kidding me? You
know, and the patties are smaller. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Yeah, they are. They don't even taste as good.
That's right.
You know, and so I know they're saying that, you know, the $4.5 trillion, $500 billion, I should say. I'm like you. I don't believe it. I think you're going to see something a whole lot different.
Yeah, no, I don't believe the numbers either. The reason that I even look at them, Greg, is that, you know, if someone's lying to me, that's one thing. If they're lying to me consistently, then I can use that information.
Yes, you can.
Okay, you know, there's so many things that are off budget. Off balance sheet. I mean, Hurricane Katrina, how much did that cost us? It was all off budget. That didn't show up on any of the numbers that they report out to us. So, you know, that's a way of cooking the books. If it's like, you know, if I'm over budget, well, I'll move that expense to another area. Okay. And then I'm now no longer over budget.
On that one, that's right.
On that one. So
I'll buy me on Airport Highway out here. There's a sign that says cashiers want at $11.75 an hour.
Yeah.
Now, we don't need a minimum wage. The only reason they're offering $11.75, they can't get anybody at $7.
That's absolutely right.
And
that's
so the market has determined $11.75 is the number.
Yeah. Yeah. And if nobody shows up that's qualified at $11.75, you'll see it at $12.50 next week.
Exactly right. And we don't need anyone to get in the middle of it. The market will take care of it. So
that's absolutely right.
You and I know that. I wish we could get the people in Washington to understand it.
Well, you know, they're not the ones that vote. You and I are the ones that vote. We got to get the electorate to understand it and pull another. I'm having trouble with my memory. Who lost the election big time last week in Virginia?
Eric Cantor. Right.
I kept wanting to say Santorum, and I knew that wasn't right.
No.
So I need some serious caffeine or something to get the memory going.
Yeah.
But that's what we need to have happen is the electorate get all these people out. We'll give them term limits. We'll vote them out.
Right, exactly. And you and I have talked about that. Remember the last time we talked, I told you I call a lot of campaigns and so on around the country and trying to help some of these guys. And a good example is Eric Cantor. I'm sure you remember a year and a half ago, he's on TV saying the Republicans are against any new revenue increases. No, we're not. We don't care about revenue increases as long as we get it through lower tax rates.
That's right.
See, and he didn't say that. So right away we get vilified for it because of his ignorance. He uses the wrong terminology.
Yeah, and he was in a position of power. And I made a prediction. I don't think I did this on air, Greg, but I'll do it on air. Eric Cantor is going to show up again. He's going to show up again sometime soon, and it won't be in connected to the Republican Party.
You might be right.
Mark my words on that.
Yep. You think he's going to run as an independent or something, maybe?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was independent. I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up as a Democrat.
If he goes independent, I don't think he can still get in, I think, in the independent side.
Might be able to.
Yeah, but other than that, you'd have to be a write-in. But he needs to be. We just don't need people like that.
No, and he wasn't happy for losing, and he'll be back. He's had too much power in his veins.
Yeah, did you notice his wife wasn't too happy either? Did you see a look on her face?
Yeah, probably not.
She was not a happy woman.
You know, there's a lot of perks that go with being the senior guy in the House.
You're right, the majority leader. And let me tell you, they just lost them all, so that's the way it goes. So I'll keep listening. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, Greg. Thanks a lot. You know, Russia came out today and said they're putting Ukraine on a kind of a cash only basis for their natural gas. And I got to looking at that, and I understand Russia's play. They're trying to pass it off as a pure business decision. Well, Ukraine owes us $4.5 billion for gas, and we've been giving them some serious energy discounts. So we're getting rid of the discounts, which means that the price of Ukraine gas is going to go up by 80%, and we're going to put them on cash only. This is a business decision. It's not good business to extend credit to the Ukraine. Now, I understand Russia's play on this. I understand that it's a political power play by Putin. I understand he's going to try and strangle the Ukraine and strangle European countries to get what he wants. I also understand that the sanctions that have been put in place have had little effect so far. Okay. But I think that people aren't really aware of some of the vulnerabilities of Russia. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to talk about the vulnerabilities of China that we're just not aware of. And part of that lack of awareness is a natural American attitude of not willing to play dirty. And I'm not saying illegal. I'm not saying people die or anything like that. But I'm saying is that we have a tendency to play by capitalistic rules and thinking that everybody will act in their own self-interest. And thereby, if we play by capitalistic rules, we'll be okay. Now, what I mean by that is Russia has more oil than I believe any other country in the world. But in order to access that oil, they need United States technology. They need ExxonMobil, Halliburton. They need BP, PLC. In order to access and develop their energy reserves. Now, if Russia is poking us in the eye and they're poking our allies in the eye, why help them out? Why help them get the resources in order to continue poking us in the eye? If they can't access deep water energy reserves, if they can't access their energy through fracking without us, then why are they the tail that's wagging the dog? If they're cutting off energy to the Ukraine, and you know why they're doing it, it's not a business decision, for crying out loud. They're doing it to strangle that country in order to annex them into Russia. They cut off their gas, saying it's got to be cash only. And within a very short time, one of the pipelines blew up. Initially, they called it a terrorist attack. Later reports called it a fire. Okay. And then Russia prohibits any import of agricultural products from the Ukraine. And that's a major, major part of their economy. It was going to block imports of agricultural goods from the Ukraine. So that's about $5 billion a year in agriculture. Right? They're trying to strangle the Ukraine. Now, do I want to put American soldiers and American materiel and all that kind? No, not our problem. I think we have spent enough blood and treasure around the world sticking our nose where we don't need to stick it. But that being said, why are we helping them develop the resources so they can continue doing what they're doing? Now, is that playing dirty?
Yeah.
Maybe. But it's also standing up for principles that America was built on. We can go around and say, we're not going to finance terrorism around the world. Well, you know what? Just because the Russians aren't Muslim, just because they don't blow themselves up to get what they want, just because they're not parking car bombs around and flying airplanes into world-class buildings, doesn't mean what they're doing isn't another form of terrorism. And why should our companies, why should our technology help them do it? For profit? Really? Really? Do you think the Russians are going to be our buddies because we help them get their energy? Look what the Middle East has done. We helped all those countries get their energy, and look where we're sitting. Once it reaches a point of self-sustaining, they nationalize it and throw us out and keep everything. Now, they've got a huge oil trove there, but they can't get it without us. At least not at the level that they need to get it. So why help them? Why help them? When we come back, we'll see if the IRS has given us a free pass on our next audit. I'm Gary Rathbun. This is Eye on Your Money.
Back to Eye on Your Money with Gary Rathbun.
Oh, we are back. IRS has given us a free pass on our next audit. Before we get to that, let's go to Roy in Waterville. Roy, welcome to Eye on Your Money.
Yes. Hi, Gary. I love your show. You know that I really appreciate you, but you keep making the same mistake over and over again. Can I point it out to you?
Absolutely.
All right.
Why should you be any different, Roy?
Playing fair.
Uh-huh.
We are not playing. We are not playing fair. It's like saying we need to have a fair fight. If you want to have a fair fight, you're going down, buddy. You want over.
Well, and that's kind of what I preface that at, is that we're naturally inclined not to fight dirty. And I think we should.
You bet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's nothing worse than trying to have a fair fight and being the good guys.
Yeah.
There's nothing good about being in a fight, and there's nothing fine about losing in an honorable situation.
Right. Right. Yes, I agree. And you know, once again, it's our culture. I fall into that language. Fair. You're absolutely right. Now, if I know I'm preempted on some of the stations tonight by Indians baseball, but I'm going to have the same discussion about China coming up. I got some interesting information on China today that I think you'll enjoy. So I appreciate the correction, and it's justified. Thanks a lot, Roy.
All right. You bet, buddy. Thanks.
Appreciate it. The IRS came out, you know, last week or a few days ago, and said, oh my, I don't know what happened. Our computers crashed. And for the time frame that you're asking for, we lost all of Lois Lerner's emails. Lost them, gone forever, can't restore them. Sorry, have a nice day. And today, came out to six more people that are involved in this that the Congress wants to see their email. Oh, well, you know, we lost those two. Lost them, can't find them. Email crash or computer crash. Sorry. Now, my thought, I told my wife, I said, save that article, save it out of the newspaper, and if we ever get audited and the IRS wants our records, I'm going to say, you know what? Coincidentally enough, for the years you're auditing me, my computer crashed and we lost all those records. Sorry. Too bad. Have a nice day. Now, I'm not so naive to think that I'll be able to get away with that. But I am going to say it, because this is just the dumbest thing. And if the IRS or whoever's pulling their strings, and I'm not going to make that statement or I will get audited, but whoever is pulling the strings here, I can't believe that they think the American people are that stupid. Do they really, really believe that we're that stupid, that gullible? I mean, I've seen experts on TV already saying, oh, there's no way this information was lost, easily retrievable from a crash, from a hard drive crash, that kind of stuff. This is just nonsense. And this goes clear back to 2009. Why is it just coming out now? Why is the IRS coming out and admitting now they've got a computer crash or had a computer crash and Lois Lerner's emails and everybody else who gets subpoena is lost, but everything else is okay? So just coincidence that her emails are the data that was lost on the hard drive crash. Not everything else that was necessary. I don't know what's more disturbing, this stupidity or the congressman or senator, and I apologize, I don't know who made the statement, that said, well, no problem, we'll get them from the NSA. The NSA keeps everybody's emails and all this mega data. We'll just get it from the NSA. I don't know which is more disturbing. But I know we ain't that stupid. And it's one more step toward the coming revolution. Watch and see. I'm Gary Rathbun. This is Eye on Your Money, your free market voice of the Midwest.